The bogs that produce the peat moss you can buy at the local garden center may seem like lowly ecosystems, but globally, these bogs contain more carbon than all the world's tropical rainforests. Scientists are concerned that as the world warms, this vast store of carbon could vent out as carbon dioxide, and that would make the world heat up even faster. NPR's Richard Harris visited a peat bog in Ontario, where researchers are trying to understand the role of bogs in climate change.
When the sun is shining and a light breeze is blowing over a peaceful expanse of wetlands, it's hard to think global catastrophe. The spirit is much more picnic time. That mood is only reinforced as researcher Nigel Roulet shows up, sporting a straw hat and shorts with his grade school daughter on her summer vacation and his Scottish terrier, McAllen.
He's just seen more wetlands that you can shake a stick at.
The dog and girl skip ahead down the boardwalk that juts into the Mirebleu Bog, which is not far from the city of Ottawa.
Can I go back on?
Professor Roulet has driven here from McGill University in Montreal. He gathers his toolbox and lunch and follows behind. His job today is to work on some of the equipment that monitors the behavior of this wetland around the clock, through the summer, and even over the winter when the snow here is waist high. This may look like a boring, squishy meadow, but Roulet says don't be fooled.
Wetlands are one of the most unique ecosystems in the world as far as greenhouse gases are concerned.
Over the past 8,500 years, the plants in this bog have captured a huge amount of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and trapped it here as pads of dead vegetation as much as 20 feet deep in places.
When we originally started our research, we had the working hypothesis that one would start drying these systems out, and one might even expect a runaway release of carbon dioxide.
So it would become a net source of carbon dioxide as opposed to a place where it goes away.
That's right. That's the possibility.
To figure out whether that might happen, Roulet and other scientists have set up a whole series of experiments out here on Mirebleu. A dozen clear plastic domes sit out on the bog to capture the gases from small rings of plants. Board pathways lead out to monitoring towers. There are even patches of plants that look impossibly green.
Those are not real plants.
I was going to say they look plastic.
They
plastic
are.
Ivy, it
hey,
looks
hey.
Like.
McAllen, over there. Over there, boy.
The plastic foliage is part of an experiment to study the soil under realistic sunlight conditions, but minus all the biochemistry of the green plants. The most crucial experiments out here measure how the bog literally breathes carbon dioxide. That's where Peter LaFleur comes in.
Oh, good day, Professor Roulet. Fashionable hat you have on today.
How's it going?
LaFleur comes down the boardwalk with his research group from Trent University in southern Ontario. They're followed by a big black pound dog.
Yeah, and that's, Maggie.
Hey, Maggie.
Field assistant.
The bog plants take in carbon dioxide when the sun shines, but they also breathe a lot of it out again when it's dark. The balance here is critical because land plants as a whole actually produce about 10 times as much carbon dioxide as we emit by burning fossil fuels. But unlike us, they soak up even more than they produce. If that balance were to tip either way, it could slow or accelerate global warming. The researchers are here today to move an instrument that monitors this respiration.
So here it is. And I'm just going to download some data first.
Ellen Humphreys pulls out her laptop and plugs it into an electronic box on the 8-foot-tall tower. This gizmo has been measuring wind speed, humidity, temperature, and most important, carbon dioxide concentrations.
From the sonic anemometer.
The instrument emits a tone when it's working properly.
And so when I come here, if I hear that confidence tone and I hear the rrrr, that's a good sign.
Today's task is to move this station from one part of the bog to another. Up until now, the scientists have simply assumed that the bog breathes the same way everywhere. Now they're in the process of finding out whether that's really true.
There you go, nice and quiet.
Humphreys turns off the pumps and gets down to the business of dismantling the hardware.
This is where the crew gets to do all the hard work.
Peter LaFleur hefts the solar panels that power this station. He starts trudging across the 2x8 boards that prevent people from sinking into the ooze. LaFleur has been running this part of the project for 6 years. He's amazed how much carbon dioxide this one bog soaks up out of the air.
In 1 year, the bog takes in about as much carbon as it takes to make 1,500 average-sized North American cars. So the analogy that I like to draw is that you're driving 1,500 cars in the gas that they consume into the bog each year and sinking them.
And despite some rather substantial changes in weather over the past 6 years, the bog has kept on doing that.
There is no year that the bog has actually lost carbon. So that some years it's very close to a neutral system where the amount lost is equal to the amount that we gained in a year. But in most years there's some uptake, which is encouraging. And that is over quite a range of climatic conditions, from quite very dry summers to very wet summers.
So it doesn't seem that the bog will suddenly start belching carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere as the climate changes. But Nigel Roulet has discovered a lot of other issues he hadn't fully appreciated at the outset of this research. For example, bogs produce methane gas, which also contributes to global warming, and it's not entirely clear how those emissions will change. And there's another big question. How will the bog react to greater carbon dioxide in the air, mingled with nitrogen compounds from power plant pollution?
One of the big questions has been, with elevated CO2, and now that we are elevating nitrogen, are they effectively fertilizing the forests or the peatlands that are in this region?
That could make them grow faster, so they'd do a better job of gobbling up carbon dioxide and slowing global warming, or maybe not. That question is being tested down another boardwalk, where part of the bog is being fertilized by hand.
And you should be able to pick it out right now as we're walking towards it. But you can see the shrubs on these plots here seem to be quite a bit larger.
Yes.
And this is a plot that has been receiving both nitrogen and phosphorus.
The shrubs here are indeed growing faster, but now they're shading out the moss beneath them, stunting the growth of those plants. The net effect is a change in the character of the bog, but it may not take in any more carbon dioxide on the whole. Roulet is relieved that he hasn't found the seeds of a catastrophe waiting in bogs, but he says the coming decades will bring about atmospheric changes more rapid and profound than the Earth has experienced in 500,000 years.
We're outside the box. We don't know how this is going to go. So, and that scares me as a scientist in a way. It's not, I'm not a doomsdayer, but I'm also very, very uncertain to be able to say that the way that we're tinkering with the planet isn't going to have profound effect.
Meanwhile, Peter LaFleur and his assistant Mike have gathered up the pieces of the carbon dioxide monitoring tower. Under the watchful eye of Maggie the dog, they're reassembling it at its new site.
No, I think it'll be all right.
So it looks like you've got it pretty well back together.
Just about. We a few more things to add on here, and the tower will be all set up.
When it's switched on again, it sucks up the air and spits out a somewhat surprising reading. The air 6 feet above this bog contains noticeably less carbon dioxide than the global average. The plants here really are soaking up CO2 from human activities, and with the right equipment, you can easily see that. The fervent hope is that the plants will keep on doing that as the planet heats up. Richard Harris, NPR News.